This is Carol Kosovar looking at education on KALW. And public education is a hot, hot issue today. And I'm here speaking with Diane Ravitch, who is essentially leading a very important campaign fighting for public education in the United States. Now, Diane, what are the big issues?
The biggest issue is that there is a full-fledged attack on public education and an effort led right now by the Trump administration, by Betsy DeVos, and by billionaires and Wall Street to privatize our public schools. It didn't start with the Trump administration. It's been going on for the past several years. Charter schools are the leading edge of privatization, but the next step beyond charter schools is vouchers. But they are both efforts to privatize the public schools, take them away from the democratic control. We see this happening all over the country. It's happening in state after state, where there are state takeovers, governors' task forces that decide that charters are better than public control of public schools. And the effort that I've been trying to energize is to say public schools belong to the public. We paid for them. It's our tax money. And we can't let billionaires and hedge fund managers decide what happens to our children.
Well, there's been a lot of research on charter schools. And the rhetoric on charter schools and vouchers doesn't really live up to the data.
Actually, the data shows that children are better off in public schools. Even in very poor communities, when charters open, they don't do any differently from the regular public schools unless they cherry-pick the children, which many of them do. Many of the charters in poor communities do not take the kids with disabilities, do not take the kids who are English language learners, kick out the kids that they don't want, and they end up with the cream of the crop. And they leave the public school with fewer resources and the most troubled children. So it really is a double-edged sword that's being directed at the schools. And the charters boast about their test scores, but their test scores are based on cherry-picking children. The research on vouchers is overwhelmingly that kids do worse in voucher schools than they do in public schools. If we were acting sensibly as a nation, we would concentrate our resources on having the very best public education system that we can and alleviating the poverty that is so harmful to children, because the one thing that we know from decades of social science research is that low test scores are highly correlated with poverty.
One of the things that we see is are themes like school choice, accountability, transparency, and some of the activities that you're involved in are changing the rhetoric on what those words mean.
Well, what school choice means is that the schools choose the students they want. Public schools are required to take everybody, and they have to take the children who have cognitive disabilities. The charter schools do not take those children. They don't want those children. They want to push them off into the public schools. We need to have a strong public school system that serves the needs of all children and has the funding to do it. And by investing in charters, we are actually disabling our public schools, making them less capable of doing the job that they have to do.
One of the things that you said is very interesting, and it has to do with funding public education, because there really is a little bit of a correlation between how much you invest in our schools and how well our children do. And if, for example, you have charter schools and voucher schools, what is that impact on the funding for our local public schools?
We know what the impact of charters and vouchers is on public schools. There's only so much money that will be spent on education, and the money spent on charters is taken away from public schools. In the state of California, for example, the law may call them public charter schools. There is no such thing as a public charter school. Charter schools are privately managed. They're run by entrepreneurs. They're run by people who, in many instances, have no educational experience whatever. They're in many states, not necessarily in California, although it's true in California too. There are for-profit charter schools where the money is siphoned off from public schools for the investors. Betsy DeVos's own state of Michigan has an incredible number of charters that are run by for-profit charter chains. 80% of the charters in her state are run for profit. So if she's an example of what charters can do, her state of Michigan, which she has purchased with her billions of dollars over the past 20 years, her state of Michigan went from the middle of the pack on national assessments of school performance to the bottom of the pack. She's virtually destroyed the Michigan public school system almost single-handedly.
Let me just remind you, this is Carol Kosovar, Looking at Education on KALW, and joining me is Diane Ravitch, who is a outspoken person who doesn't mince words about the importance of public education. Now more than ever, fight for public education, and that's really what she's doing. So let's switch the conversation just a little bit. If you're going to fight for public education, what should that public education look like? What should we be providing our teachers, and what should we be providing our students?
The first thing to acknowledge is that our public schools today are not all they should be. I mean, there are many disappointing things about the schools, including the fact that there's way too much time devoted to standardized testing. Standardized testing sorts kids according to the economic means of their family. The most advantaged kids end up getting the highest scores, and the least advantaged kids get the lowest scores. We should not be relying on standardized tests for anything other than diagnostic purposes.
If you look, for example, in California, where we just had the most recent set of standardized tests, very, very strong correlation between the communities that have high-income parents and how well those children did on tests. Not really, in many ways, a test of the schools, but a test of the income and influence of the parents.
Every standardized test used anywhere in the world shows a high correlation between family income and test scores. So if you really want to know what the test scores are, you don't need to bother giving the test. Just look at the affluence or poverty of the community. What we should be doing in schools is we should have schools that are fully resourced, that have experienced teachers, that don't rely on Teach for America, that rely on teachers who are professionals and commit to teaching as their career, and that are experts in their own field of whatever it is they're teaching. They need the resources for kids with disabilities. They need the resources for kids who need to learn English. They should have libraries with professional librarians. They should have reasonable class sizes. One of the reasons that parents often will choose a charter rather than a public school is because of the difference in class size. Public schools need the resources to have class sizes of 18 to 20 children and not more than that. And they should have a curriculum that stresses the arts, creativity, athletics, so that children have a good reason to come to school. And children don't look forward to come to school to be tested. But many schools have dropped the subjects that children love the most, particularly in the arts, in order to make more room for testing and test prep, which is ridiculous. In some countries, for instance, in Finland, there's a recess after every single class. Children need a break. We have to have a much more humane approach to education, one that values history and literature and science and mathematics and foreign languages, but especially the arts, because that's what really excites children. And California used to be a leader in all of these things, but California has followed the lead of Washington, D.C., of George W. Bush's No Child Left Behind, followed by Arne Duncan's Race to the Top, in making testing the measure of all things and allowing the curriculum to shrivel so that children feel that school is a chore and not a joy. And the way you make schools great is by emphasizing those things that are inculcate in children a love of learning, a joy of inquiry, and also an appreciation of the opportunity that they're given to go to a fully resourced school that has everything that turns them on about learning.
I'm going to give you a little bit of pushback about what's happening in California, only because California now has actually moved away from measuring schools just on test scores. They're using a number of other indices. Is that something that you support?
Well, I believe in not using standardized tests for any purpose other than diagnostics. And there are states all over this country that are grading schools, that are giving schools A through F based on their test scores, that are grading teachers based on test scores. California did that too.
And no longer.
And no longer, and that's a good thing. But I think that California should basically de-emphasize the standardized test, and to the greatest extent possible, don't use standardized tests. If it were up to me, and if I were the superintendent of schools for the state of California, I would drop the standardized test. The other thing I would do if I were in charge in this state, which I never will be, is to have much closer supervision of the charter schools, because California has an unbelievable number of charter schools that are scams, that operate for profit, that operate in ways that a public school would never be allowed to operate in terms of the misuse of money and the spending of money on expensive items that would be intolerable in a public school. And California also has a problem that the California Charter School Association is the single biggest lobby in Sacramento, and it's a bully. It uses its money to intimidate people and to intimidate politicians and to say, if you want to be able to raise money for your next campaign, you better support charter schools. Let's recognize that charter schools are not public schools. They are a form of privatization, and allow public schools to flourish and let the billionaires like Reed Hastings and like Eli Broad really love charter schools so much, let them pay for them. Don't make the public pay for them.
I'd really like to thank Diane Ravitch, a historian and outspoken proponent of a great public education, for joining me. This is Carol Kosovar, looking at education on KALW.